Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Build Up Show, counting down to the trophy lift and Liverpool playing Chelsea at Anfield, of course, as well. Before we dive into anything and introduce our guests, we have got a sponsor this week. Let's hear from them.
We exist online, and as such, we need to know that all of our data, including videos and images, are backed up securely. That's why we use Acronis True Image 2020. And thanks to our sponsor, Acronis, you can have peace of mind that all of your data is secure too. RedMen TV viewers can get Acronis True Image 2020 for free for 6 months, and then it's just $13.99 per quarter. Acronis True Image 2020 is the number one personal backup and cyber protection solution that's trusted by more than 5 million users in 145 countries around the world. You'll get 500 gigabytes of Acronis cloud storage that combines a reliable backup solution with multiple devices and integrated anti-malware defenses for true cyber protection. Safeguard the emails and attachments from your office.com email, as well as your OneDrive content with direct cloud-to-cloud backups. You can use the Acronis mobile app to back up the data on your mobile phone, and you can back up and clone your entire PC or Mac with True Image 2020 to a USB drive or the Acronis cloud. And don't forget the dual protection that replicates local files in the Acronis cloud. Click the link below to get your first 6 months subscription to Acronis True Image 2020 for free right now, and never lose one of those incredible moments again.
Anyway, welcome back. It is the Build Up Show. Chris Pajak joins me, Jay Pearson joins me, and Frankie Clarence as well. What a time to be a mighty red Liverpool fan. Chris Pajak, this is it. I mean, it's not it, because there's still another game to be played after this for some reason. But this is the one, you know, regardless of the game of football, it's a bit, which is a bit secondary, I guess. And we will talk about it. But yeah, you know, this is the day. Virgil van Dijk's posting videos of fellas dancing outside cars, trying to spread the good vibes and the build up to that beautiful trophy being lifted.
I know. I can't wait, mate. And I really, like, I want to win the game just so I can feel much better when it gets to the trophy lift. Like, the worst thing in the world would be to get absolutely pumped by Chelsea and then lift the trophy. I mean, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Not lifting the trophy would be much worse. I just hope Jordan Henderson's okay. I hope he can do his little leg celebration, because, you know, if he's not allowed to do that, like, imagine if the sports scientists say no yeah, little legs. Like, I'd be like, I'm not into that at all. Like, just
how we're boss. Give us an injection.
Exactly.
Give us an injection. Well, George, hit me. Hit me. Yeah, absolutely. Whatever it takes. I wonder whether, Jay, there's something to him, like, getting some sort of, like, Iron Man stroke War Machine style leg braces to help him get through this if needs be.
Oh, I'll tell you what, mate. If anybody's going to do it, it'll be Hendo. He'll ask for it, because he's had so much pressure on his shoulders for the last 10 years, hasn't he, of knowing that he would be the man to take the mantle from Steven Gerrard, and the people who might have predicted that he'd win the Premier League, and now that's actually done. I think I don't care if he goes fucking full kit. I don't give a shit, as long as he's on there. It really doesn't matter. You know, let's do it, John Terry. Let's put the full kit on.
If you're gonna do it, you might as well. I agree. You might as well absolutely go for it. I mean, I have to ask the question before Chris does. Jay, do you draw the line of chimpads?
For continuity things, I'd probably say yeah, draw the line at that. But yeah, do you know what, mate? It's just going to be amazing. We're going to see our club lift the Premier League trophy. So I don't care if he's fucking naked on there. Just get it lifted.
What do you think, Frankie? I mean, for a start, you've got to be looking forward to this one.
Man, unlike you guys, I've never actually seen us win the league. So I've literally waited virtually my whole life for this moment. I always thought that I'll have this opportunity to at least be at the stadiums, such as the situation. But regardless, even if they did it in, not even in Anfield, they just did it in Stanley Park, I would have been full throttle celebration. I'm ecstatic. I've never looked forward to Wednesday this much ever in my life. So bring it on.
It is going to be a good Wednesday. As far as Wednesdays go.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
100%. I do wonder whether, Chris, is just an outside option on this. Do you make every play, just to try and cover for the fact that it would be a bit weird, unless Hendo's on the bench. And I would put him on the bench. Just for that, just to give him that possibility. So at least he's got a legitimate reason to be in a football kit. But whether you do something where you make them all change, they're like everybody has to get changed, so no one's still in the kit that they were wearing on the pitch. So at least you can go, oh, no, the reason Henderson's dressed the same as everyone else is because this. Or, tracky bottoms with like Shawn Michaels style poppers on.
I don't know. Like, I think getting serious for a second, New Balance have paid to be our kit supplier for a reason. It's these photographs that you kind of want. It's what you hope for when you are a thingy. To be honest with you, look, I would have Jordan Henderson sat on the stage on his own all game. I wouldn't even have him on the subs bench. I'd just have him sat there waiting next to the Premier League trophy, behind the goal. So that, like that, it's good enough for Liverpool when we face the cop with fans. I mean, Jordan's about to lift the trophy and he's just sat there watching everybody bring it on. Like, you know what I mean? That's what I want to see him just sat there next to the trophy.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd actually be made up with that. And a real test of endurance that he's got to do the little legs for the whole 90 minutes.
Yeah. And he needs to start really slow, though. I mean, like, really slow. If you go 90 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm getting faster the whole
time. Getting faster as the time goes on, bro.
Like a metronome next to him that speeds up. And every time you let another random fan in who can start clapping. So that it's like
a Royal Rumble style.
Oh
my god, that'd be amazing. Chris, well, I got let's get on to the game then. It's the first time Alisson plays against Chelsea this season. Adrian's been in goal for every single one of the games we've played against them. And he's had, Adrian, he had a mixed bag, I think it's fair to say, against Chelsea this season. He obviously gives away the penalty in the Super Cup and then saves the winning penalty. He made two of the best saves I've seen. And in both games, both the league and the FA Cup game, but then also the FA Cup game let an absolute howler in from Willian. It should make a difference, Alisson, particularly on the back of making a little mistake and having to talk about his mentality for the first time probably ever in his career. That should give us another note of encouragement.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I mean, look, let's be honest. Our number two goalkeeper's better than Manchester United's number one goalkeeper at the moment. And he's probably made less errors than David De Gea has, certainly this week. So, look, I'm made up that Alisson's going to be in net. Of course you are. And the fact is, I love the fact that Alisson came out and started speaking about it after the game. Like, it's not going to take the shine off this, what we've done this season and all that. That's what you want to see from your goalkeeper, a leader in your squad as well. And we know he's the best goalkeeper in the league by a mile. I think he's one of the best goalkeepers in the world, if not the best. And he's going to make a big difference. That's just the way that it is. Chelsea coming off a tough game against Manchester United as well. We've had that full week almost to prepare for this game. And knowing that we're going to lift the trophy, the lads going to want to go out there this week and make sure that they not only put a performance in, but they get the results. Because that, I think, is what's been lacking. We've been putting performances in. We haven't quite got the results. We're going to put the performance in. We're going to get the results. And we're going to get the trophy lift that they deserve.
Yeah, I think, Jay, look, Chelsea got plenty to keep themselves interested in this, and they're a very good team, and they've actually got, I was looking at their bench against Manchester United, and I saw some Chelsea fans commenting that they thought United was better. I think Chelsea have got some real quality and depth there. They can freshen it up, but hopefully the motivation should come from whatever, from the whole endeavour for Liverpool, really.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. I mean, you look back at the history of Liverpool versus Chelsea at Anfield, it's always a spicy game, regardless of what's being relied on. I mean, I think remember the FA Cup game? When we got beaten in the FA Cup final, we played Chelsea a few days later when John Joe Shelby scored. I think that's, you know, we were so motivated for that game. And it's from then on, it's sort of gone on that every single game, then we've always wanted to beat Chelsea at Anfield. I look back at last season as well, the title's riding on the game and we get a fantastic 2-0 victory. But we've got something to prove over the last couple of weeks because since the restart, we haven't been, as you would say, at our best. It's obvious that's what people are talking about as well. But the funny thing is about this game is, like you said, there's a trophy lift at the end of this game and we want to put in a performance that can say, do you know what, Chelsea, you're still quite far behind us. I don't care how much you can try and get one over us for signing Timo Werner. Yeah, you've got Ziyech, Pulisic, you're going to look great next year. But tell you what, boys, you're not going to be as fucking good as us next year.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, isn't it, Frankie? There's got to be a point of pride. And look, all ills will be forgotten when the trophy's lifted. But I suspect this team probably wants to go before it on a bigger high as possible.
Oh, definitely. Obviously, this is our last game at Anfield as well. You always do want to leave that with a good record as well. And obviously, we have to reset the record after dropping points against Burnley. I always felt that this kind of game... when it restarted, I thought this is the game I was most not looking forward to, simply because I knew Chelsea had more to play for. But they're not necessarily qualified for the Champions League yet, but they've also got people that want to prove themselves ready for the FA Cup final. They've got still in the Champions League. Okay, they're more or less out. But I thought Chelsea are going to come at us more than we would usually be accustomed to, because most of the teams, past City, have had a point to prove against us. So yeah, this is a game where I thought that we should be on our toes, and we will be on our toes because we're always formal professionals and seem to be lifting up the trophy as well.
Absolutely. The stage is set for a number of things, Chris. Roberto Firmino, you know, we've been talking about this a lot, the lack of Anfield.
Just don't play him. There's no need for him to get a goal. It's much more of a piss take if you're just not asked about him scoring at Anfield and don't give him the opportunity to score at Anfield in the last game of the season. That for me is funny because it's like, oh, well, Roberto Firmino didn't score any at Anfield. Yes, but we won the league like with 7 games to go by 20-odd points and we're not asked. Now, Firmino will be asked. He absolutely will be. And it wouldn't surprise me if Klopp puts him out there and he bags a goal or two, because he won't want that record, because it'll go into next season and it'll be, oh, it's been over a year since Roberto Firmino scored at Anfield and all of last season. He just needs to get rid of that, you know, for him personally. You know, as much as the team accolades obviously are massive, when you are a striker, you're judged on goals and apparently now you're judged on home goals as well, not just away goals, which was
in the league. Thing.
But, you know, it is what it is. Why not? Like, we're in the social media age, aren't we? So they're always looking to try and score points wherever they can. And you certainly can't score them with where we're finishing in the league this season. So opposition fans, have fun with that. We're not really arsed. Bobby might be. But come on, who really cares?
Yeah, I mean, Jake, one good thing about Roberto Firmino is that he's had some brilliant games against Chelsea this season. You think about the impact in the Super Cup coming off the bench. And it actually makes you wonder whether if he's desperate and he needs any added motivation, you could even follow that path again, start Minamino, who was really bright off the bench, and say to Bobby, we're going to give you the last half an hour, go when everyone's tired, to go out there and do it.
Yeah, mate, it's true. I mean, we all know what Bobby does for us as Liverpool fans. It's more than goals, and everybody knows that, but everyone just looks at the number that's on the back of his shirt and goes, well, his number 9 should be scoring goals. Listen, the only motivation he needs is put a fucking picture of El Hadji Diouf, right, in the changing room, because he's the only number 9 in the Premier League here that hasn't scored for Liverpool at Anfield in a season. So put that in front of him and just say you don't want to be on the same level as that fella. So... but, mate, all the motivation needs is Bobby is just to get out on that pitch. I'm sure he does want a goal. And like you said, we could have a look at Minamino starting the game, which is what we all want to do anyway. And like I said, bring him on for the last half an hour and let's have another Super Cup, because I've got a feeling he'll get a goal. Let's just put it out there now. He's going to get a goal.
Yeah, I kind of agree on that, Frankie. Is that, it's a thing, but things are only things until they're not things anymore. And I think if he was crap, I think it'd be a big issue, but he's not crap. And he's come bloody close at times. And he has scored at Anfield this season in the Champions League. And I think having, you know, he nearly had that moment against Atletico where he that goal got us through. He's been good in the big occasions, and you wouldn't put it past him.
I wouldn't put past him. I think what definitely works in Firmino's favour is the right people. are supporting him, i.e. the coaching team, Klopp, most of us Liverpool fans. And sincerely, sometimes you just got to only focus on those who generally have a valid opinion on what they think, as opposed to what some 12-year-old kid is saying on Twitter. So I don't necessarily think Firmino's losing sleep, but it is in the back of his mind, and he will overcome it because, I mean, he's the Bobby Dazzler, so he'll be all right.
Solid advice, that, isn't it, Chris? Don't listen to 12-year-olds on Twitter.
It's absolutely solid advice. It's easier said than done, though, Paul, isn't it? It's great advice. I think, you know, we know that if someone's not able to put their own face to their Twitter account, the likelihood is they're a virgin and 12 years old. And, you know, that's probably okay at 12. If they're still doing it at 17... If they're still doing it at 17, then they're just a virgin at that point. I'm not going to say they should still be ignored, but they used to be in the So, I don't know where I'm going with this.
Realistically, Chris, there's only one slot up for grabs in this team, isn't there?
Yeah, probably the midfield slot, isn't it? I mean, you're probably looking at Naby Keita, maybe Curtis Jones. I don't know what's going on with James Milner. Will he get a last hurrah at Anfield? Not in front of the fans. Obviously Leeds get promoted and there's a lot of talk about that. And I personally would go with Naby Keita in this game. I just think he's done enough over the last few weeks that he deserves to stake his claim to be part of that midfield three each and every week now. And, you know, he's an exciting player. We know that. I'd love to see him go up against the likes of Kante or Jorginho and see how he does up against them. Kovacic is a strong midfielder and stuff like that. So I think it would be a game that would suit him, actually. It's funny, isn't it? Because I always think, you always think about midfielders and what type of game would suit them. And we say it quite often because we're always talking about the rotation in the midfield three. There isn't a team that we come up against that I don't think suits Naby Keita. Like, I think he suits playing Burnley's and, you know, low blocks and all that. But I also think, you know, a little bit of extra space in the midfield is something that he can exploit. Certainly if they're looking maybe to counter-attack you and whatnot. Certainly if they go three at the back like they did against Manchester United again, it'll be a crowded midfield this time. And then Naby Keita is probably good for that as well. So I'd like to see Naby Keita in this game. I don't know what everybody else thinks on that.
Yeah, I think Naby's the front runner, isn't he, Jay? I think he's being built up to this, and I think it'll tell us and probably Klopp a lot about Naby Keita because he's a big fan. He's been blooding him nicely since the restart, but he's the best player of those available to us in for that slot at the moment. So he should come in, and he probably does actually need to have a really good game against a really big team.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Yeah, definitely, mate. I think there's a lot of people that have still got the big question mark above Naby Keita. And it is a bit of a shame for him with injuries and all that sort of stuff. But like you said, mate, he's bleeding him in for the last 2 years now, when we all know the type of player he is. And we saw it from his debut against West Ham at the beginning of last season, and he was absolutely fantastic. And he will put in those performances. He just needs that string of games just to, like Chris said, you know, playing against all those different oppositions to see exactly what Naby Keita is all about. And I agree with Chris. I think that he is the midfield slot that goes in there. Personally, you know, with the James Milner thing is there, but we don't know if he's definitely leaving or not. So it would be nice. But yeah, Naby Keita is definitely the man to fill that midfield slot without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, what do you think, Frankie? I mean, Oxlade-Chamberlain's obviously been getting the nod lately. I don't really think he's necessarily grabbed those opportunities with two hands. Keita's looked good in those. Curtis Jones, though, has looked good in the slightly more limited opportunities. And again, James Milner, you know, we've lacked a little bit of leadership on the pitch without Jordan Henderson. So if he's fit, could just as easily be someone like Milner.
Yeah, definitely. I'm quite curious to know. So are we saying that the other two slots are going to be for Bino and Wijnaldum then?
Yeah.
Ah, fair call. Because obviously I've been seeing a lot of slander on Wijnaldum, so I don't even know where everyone's head at is with that. But yeah, I definitely would say Naby. You know, the thing is, Naby is... It's kind of frustrating. I don't want to put him in the same bracket, but he's kind of Balotelli-esque sometimes. Because you see this glimpse of, whoa, where did that come from? That's brilliant. And then it kind of derails a little bit. And then obviously he's a bit unfortunate with the injury. But it's very inconsistent sometimes. But it would be nice for him to keep that level at where we know he can be. And it can also gain momentum, because it's now hearing that the league coming back again no longer than September or October period. So keeping that momentum will be key. And I would personally put Naby Keita ahead with Wijnaldum and Fabinho.
Let's talk about it, because you mentioned it, Frankie, the Wijnaldum stuff. I've not really been on Twitter too much over the weekend. It was nice just to have a weekend off. But you're right, I actually didn't really see loads of people slagging Gini off. I saw loads of people reacting to people slagging Gini off, which is often the same thing. I personally don't get it. And me and Chris had a conversation last week, I think, saying how Liverpool have become so good that the bar for what people consider to be the scapegoat is getting higher and higher. And if Gini Wijnaldum is as bad as some people seem to be intimating, there's probably a very good indication to how brilliant Liverpool are.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's just crazy because people's memories are very, very short, considering what Wijnaldum has done for us in that short space of time that he has been with us. Obviously, the talk with Thiago coming through, everyone's kind of seeing it as a direct replacement. So it's kind of like we're moving on. It's kind of reminds me of a similar story with when Chan left and then Fabinho consistently came. So it's just fitting that slot in. I don't necessarily understand why everyone's getting at him. I just think it's maybe fear of losing him that we kind of resent ourselves away from him. But he's been brilliant and he deserves every credit. I don't know what the situation is with his contract talks. Yeah. But it's always been a thing where when contract talks do come out to the media from Liverpool under Klopp, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a good sign. So I thought many are just preparing for his departure. I don't know if he will leave, but we should definitely be giving credit to what Gini Wijnaldum has been doing, because he's been absolutely credit to all of us.
Chris?
Do you know what? I think, you know, the big thing for this, what a lot of people see is wrong with this Liverpool side is a creative midfielder. Yeah. Now, a year ago, the problem would have been Jordan Henderson. And now the tide's turned so much on Jordan Henderson that you can't possibly have a go at him, because he's captained us to a European Cup, a Club World Cup, a Premier League, that you just have to naturally move your aim to somebody else. And there's only one other man in that midfield whose fault it can be.
Because Lallana's leaving.
No, because you can't have a go at Fabinho because he's a fucking defensive midfielder. So there's only another midfielder there. There's one other slot. The lad who plays every week, Gini Wijnaldum, that's where the target's been moved to. And he doesn't get 10 goals and he doesn't get 10 assists a season. You now can't have a go at Henderson. You've got to direct your air somewhere. So Gini Wijnaldum's just unfortunate that he's playing next to Jordan Henderson at this point. Because you can't have a go at the fullbacks, which has always been something for Liverpool fans to have a go at. You can't have a go at the centre-backs and the goalkeeper. And you certainly can't have a go at the front three. So it's not even like he's doing anything wrong.
Exactly,
it's just that he's not scoring tons and tons of goals.
Yeah,
that's the thing people compare him to his days playing for Holland. And you just can't, because you're playing in a completely different side. And Frankie said the best thing. People have got short memories. And that's what really does my head in about the Virgins on Twitter. They just go on and on about the fact that he plays so well for Holland. But yeah, he plays so well for us. And there's been so many times where Genie hasn't played, and then they go, oh, well, we missed Genie. Why has he not played Genie? Well, you're fucking slagging him off the day before. So you can't really win, and that's the most frustrating thing. And the thing that upsets me the most at the minute is how this whole talk of Thiago coming in and Genie Wijnaldum leaving, it's so disrespectful to Genie Wijnaldum, considering what he's done for this club. And it's the same with Adam Lallana. You've got to think about, yeah, okay, where we are now as a football club is fantastic. And Lallana is one of those people that have built up the Klopp team. You know, considering the 15-16 season, he was, you know, the first name on Klopp's team sheet. It's sort of what Wijnaldum's done. He's come in and he's helped build us up to where we are now. And Gino Wijnaldum's that good of a player. He's still in the side today. And that is a testament to the man. And the thing is, we're getting linked with players like Thiago, who these people 6 months ago never even heard of. But all of a sudden, it's a name thrown out there like, oh, I played with him on FIFA. Yeah, he's brilliant. And you're like, yeah, you haven't got a fucking clue who he is.
Yeah, it's so disrespectful. I agree. That's the problem with him, is that it's all because his name's been mentioned in the Thiago stuff. Thiago's become this thing that everyone now needs, and there's now people who are like bargaining with the devil in order to get this over the line. And someone said, and when you hear that rumor of Genie might be a make weight in the deal, for some people, gate, that's it. Well, you then start talking yourself into it, and I reckon there's probably quite reasonable people who've talked themselves out to Genie Wijnaldum. Is for a box to box midfielder, I don't think, in terms of his goal contributions, go to the best teams in the world and stand him up to them, as far as I'm concerned. And he stands right next to the guys you're playing in Barca's midfield, the guys you're playing in Juventus's midfield. That, you know, I mean, you can argue that creativity, that killer pass thing, but in terms of, what, again, in terms of goals and assists, he's perfectly fine for a guy who does the job that he does. I think the thing that the Frankie said is right there, Chris, is that people like, yeah, because there's a attempt when lads don't want to sign new contracts, there is always that easy like narrative of like people start to maybe poison themselves against the player just to soften the blow a little bit.
Yeah, and there's loads of other things that could be involved in the contract negotiations. I mean, for a start, you know, he'll have seen everybody else essentially get a new contract by this point. And probably the time when Liverpool started to talk to him was the time COVID happened. You know, and Liverpool in the position where they can afford to offer him what would have been 6 months ago, the going rate for somebody of his skill and his experience and his importance to this Liverpool side. I don't know. And I genuinely don't know whether Liverpool can or can't afford what Genie Wijnaldum wants at the moment. It could also be that he's come to the end of his time here himself, personally, and he's gone, you know what? What more can I achieve here? Am I only going to sour what I've done at this football club? Because I've now won pretty much everything that matters at Liverpool Football Club, and maybe he wants to go home. And that's fine too if he makes that decision. Maybe Liverpool have offered him a contract and it's not quite good enough. He doesn't see it as his market value. We don't know. But to then just go, well, actually, he's a tit and he's not good enough, that's deflecting. And that's kind of what you're saying, Paul, isn't it? You're souring a player for no reason whatsoever. And listen, Liverpool are a good side. Liverpool are a great side now, one of the best in world football. And we can't forget that who got us there. And he's one of the strong foundations that this Liverpool side will have been built on. It's infuriating, to be honest. And it's like, I understand if Liverpool decide they have to move on because it's a business. But we're fans. We shouldn't think like that. Yeah. We shouldn't just think, oh, you know, he's done it. Right, that's it. He's crap now. He's not crap at all. And even if we were to sign Thiago, right, there'd still be a place in this squad for Genie Wijnaldum. And you'd be nuts to get rid of him. Even if you did sign Thiago, if you can keep them both, keep them fucking both.
Yeah, the place for Genie Wijnaldum, unfortunately, and I wonder whether this is a fact that is fullback, because that's 100% where he ends up. Look, maybe that's just it, Frankie. You know, on what he's achieved, he's won all the stuff you want to win at Liverpool. Yeah. He's now at that part of his career where he could have another big move. He could go and move to a top European club. He could play for the top side in Italy, Spain, or Germany very, very easily. And the fact that he's been, even if it's only bullshit transfer stuff, being linked with Bayern Munich, I think he could. He's that good. And he's still of an age where he could get a good few seasons out of it as well and actually pick up some other big silverware. This is not about him going and being the best player at another club. He could go and be a really good player in another great club if he wanted to.
Yeah, many of us have aspirations that we never speak of, but everyone has an opinion that they know what we want to think of too. And I thought that exactly the same. If it is exactly he wants to just try something new, there's no harm in it. We always like to change our furniture once in a while. We would like to change the surroundings. So by all means, if he wants to achieve that, he's got, not that it matters, but he's got our blessing, because he came at a time where we weren't exactly the best probably best in Northwest England. But he came and he grew the club with us. As I mentioned, in the 15-16 season, he was a revelation. And we also maybe were signing him as a winger, as he was in Newcastle. But he came in the midfield and did his thing. So it's a thing where he's been with us when it wasn't necessary or rainbows. So he has got us to that rainbow. So if he wants to drive off to the sunset, by all means, credit to him. But he shouldn't go with a bit of a sour taste, thinking that the fans didn't appreciate what he did. Because sometimes it can happen. There'll be that miscommunication for like, okay, maybe I'm not appreciated anymore. But believe me, he is appreciated. Yeah, so Genie is a credit to all of us. And whether he does want to go on the cheap, by all means, he can go out and do it. But even if Thiago does come, Genie will still have a space. So the final answer shouldn't be just upon the income, because either way, he'll be a great import with an addition to the squad or without.
We'll always have like Roma away. We'll always have Barcelona at home, and that might be just one of those things, Chris. Is that I can see Wijnaldum having an increasing bit role if you know Klopp begins to evolve this team, and again he might just think, okay, yeah, what's the point of me playing a diminished role in a side where I've been so integral? It happens to footballers all the time. Carragher was the same, but albeit with he chose retirement. So yeah, there's plenty. You know, there'll be plenty more options out there for Genie Wijnaldum, and hopefully, I mean, the ideal world is that you don't lose him on a free transfer, because I think we deserve a bit out of him for what we've given him, and he deserves whatever he wants to do next in his career.
Absolutely, but I sat here 10 minutes ago saying I wanted to see Naby Keita take that spot in midfield, and I think if everybody's fit, for me, the best starting midfield is probably still Jordan Henderson, Genie Wijnaldum and Fabinho. There's a lot of people that will disagree with me there. Now, you know, Naby, for all of his skill sets, all his technical ability, the one thing that Genie has over him by far and away is consistency and games available for. And until Naby can do that, I'm not letting go of Genie Wijnaldum. Like, it's just not happening, because you could say, all right, Naby's going to be next to Jordan Henderson. And 5 games into the new season, he could go missing for 6 because of an injury. Yeah. And so you'd still need a Genie Wijnaldum in there. So, yeah, for me, I think it would be crazy for Liverpool to get rid of him now. I think Liverpool, the business, will be wanting to secure a contract so that if they do sell him, exactly what you're saying, Paul, Liverpool get a bit out of it as well. There's still plenty of years left in Genie Wijnaldum in his career, and it's down to him, really. I think if he wants to stay, Liverpool will make it possible, because I think they believe and understand exactly what he's given to this football club. But equally, if he wants to go, as Frankie said, I think he'll go with a lot of fans' blessing.
Yeah, he'd look good in an AC Milan shirt. It's a pity that AC Milan are crap. Because
I think Barcelona would be a perfect fit for him, because they need someone like him.
Yeah,
they need someone who's willing to do a bit of that dirty work and sacrifice themselves. And let's be honest, when you've got Messi in your side, you do need midfielders that are going to go sideline to sideline and cover for players like him. I think he'd be amazing. And the Dutch link as well, you know, Cruyff and all that type of stuff.
Frankie de Jong as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The trophy lift then, Jay. You've had several yourself in the last few weeks. anyone who's followed you on social media, of course. But being able to see the real thing, it's going to be a massive shame, but that we can't be there, of course. But yeah, I'm just seeing what the club have done, and they're going to go out the way to make it as special a thing as they possibly can. I'm pleased that it's going to have a little bit more pomp and circumstance than your bog standard.
Yeah.
Throw a couple of advertising hoardings up in the middle of the pitch, wave it around for a bit, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And I think with it being such a unique atmosphere, it's going to be nighttime, it's going to be under the lights. There's apparently going to be a bit of a sort of light show with it. There's going to be fireworks stuff. It's going to be quite unique. And this could take the whole Premier League thing to a new level. They could see this, the Premier League, and go, do you know what? That was really good. Let's do that forever now. We'll do that for every trophy lift, rather than just doing it in the typical English way and on a Sunday afternoon and stuff. But yeah, like you said, mate, it's one of them things where Liverpool have waited 30 years for it, so let's do it in the biggest way possible. Let's get that podium onto the cop stand, and let's really milk it for all it's worth. As you said, I've been milking it for the last couple of weeks with this big boy here. So I hope we do it as a football club, and it's going to be so amazing. And imagine, you know, for whoever sits in the cop as a cop season ticket holder, they can go, do you know what, this is where it happened. I'm sat where it happened. It's just like unbelievable feeling. It's going to be so good.
I did have a moment, Chris, where I saw them taking the seats out, and I was looking and going, "Are they taking my seat out?"
I just hope somebody's checked the expiry date on them fireworks, because I've got a feeling they were probably from 13-14. Another way somewhere. So please just check the firework expiry date. Make sure that they go off in a safe manner and all that type of stuff.
Maybe that's why all the design work on the t-shirt is so awful for the champions gear. The design hasn't moved on since 2013-14. They go, oh, what have we got? What have we got? We've got the, someone opens up like a, goes, blows off an old hard drive, which got 13-14 written on it, and they plug it. Oh, well, look, the work's already done. Let's just do this.
Yeah. It was so bad, was it? When that came out, I thought, come on, lad, you've had since January, really, in the back of your mind to work on it. Come on, you come up, that's the best you come up with. And then there's been like a second wave of stuff coming out. You're like, okay, that's better, but you could still be better.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, shame, really. Anyway, not for independent retailers, of course.
Absolutely.
but yeah, it's out. Listen, guys, let's have some score predictions before we wrap up. Frankie, what do you think it's going to be?
I'm going 2-1 Liverpool.
Okay, wicked. Chris?
It's time Liverpool scored some goals in a game of football, and I'm going 3-0 Liverpool.
Okay, Jay?
I'm just going 3-2, because every time I've decided that I'll predict a clean sheet, we haven't had one, so I'm going 3-2.
Absolutely, sounds about right. Yeah, I'm going to go conservative, just in the hope that I'm completely wrong for once, and go like a conservative 1-0. Bobby Firmino, 91st minute. Yeah.
Bobby Firmino, 91st minute, ghost goal.
Yeah, no look, ghost goals, absolutely sad. Yeah, definitely. Or moreover, what he probably did was miss and knock the trophy off the pedestal or something, because that kind of sums up his form at Anfield in the league.
Also, don't be letting Andy Robertson shoot with his right foot this week.
Oh no, he can head to his heart's content.
Do that.
He's in, right, but no wild shots with his right peg. No, Robbo, no.
Right. You're not that good.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah, brilliant, guys. Thank you so much. I'm greatly appreciated for taking the time on this Monday morning. For those of you who want more content, the podcast will be out tomorrow, and we'll be doing a live fan zone show on Wednesday from 45 minutes before kickoff. So come in and tune us in for that one. Should be a very, very good laugh indeed. Other than that, have an amazing day. See you all soon. Ta-ra.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.